We're looking at Genesis 39 today. I've asked Ruth if she'll come and just read the passage for me so you're not listening to my voice all the time. So Ruth's going to come and share the passage. Genesis 39. Use this mic. Yeah, be on the thing. Okay.
Now when Joseph arrived in Egypt with the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, a member of the personal staff of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him. Potiphar soon put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't have a worry in the world except to decide what he wanted to eat. Now Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and about this time Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. But Joseph refused. "Look," he told her, "my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God." She kept putting pressure on him day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. One day, however, no one else was around when he was doing his work inside the house. She came and grabbed him by his shirt, demanding, "Sleep with me." Joseph tore himself away, but as he did, his shirt came off. She was left holding it as he ran from the house. When she saw that she had his shirt and that he had fled, she began screaming. Soon all the men around the place came running. "My husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to insult us," she sobbed. "He tried to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard my loud cries, he ran and left his shirt behind with me." She kept the shirt with her, and when her husband came home that night, she told him her story. "That Hebrew slave you've had around here tried to make a fool of me," she said. "I was saved only by my screams. He ran out, leaving his shirt behind." After hearing his wife's story, Potiphar was furious. He took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. But the Lord was with Joseph there too, and he granted Joseph favor with the chief jailer. Before long, the jailer put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The chief jailer had no more worries after that because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him, making everything run smoothly and successfully.
Thanks, Ruth. Great to hear that story in a different version of the Bible as well, in a very modern version. It was fantastic. Yeah, the King's Speech, Joseph Prophesies in Prison. This is a series we're doing on the life of Joseph. If you want to catch up on what we've done before, you can catch them on the podcast. So the story so far, most of you probably know the story. If you've seen the musical, you might know the story. This is a favourite son of his father. It was hated by his brothers. They were jealous of him because his father made him a coat that was sort of, people say many colours, but it was probably just an outlandish coat that everybody just recognised, and it was something special. So much so that the brothers hated him so much because he'd prophesied that they would bow down and worship him. So when they had the opportunity, they took him and threw him down a pit, and then they sold him to foreign travellers for 20 pieces of silver. He's taken then to a foreign land and he's sold on as a slave to Potiphar. And that's the story then where we came in, which Ruth has just read that next part of the story. So things for Joseph started to look up in the early part of that chapter. The Lord was with Joseph, it says, and he prospered. He was put in charge of Potiphar's estate, the whole house. Everything was great for him. It must have been a great house. He must have had a great lifestyle. The food and everything was fantastic. No more a slave. He could do what he liked. He was in charge. Probably his master was away, and he just had a great time. Everything was fine. Then disaster. Falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife. And he finds himself thrown into prison. But it says again, the Lord was with Joseph, and he granted him favor. And guess what? He's put in charge of the prison. This guy had something about him. But he was still in prison. But he'd done nothing wrong. We get a story here of Joseph, and we see that whatever he touched seemed to turn to gold. He had that Midas touch about him. People noticed him wherever he went, whether he was in Potiphar's house, when he was picked out of that slave line, when he was in prison, wherever he was, he stood out from the crowd. He was a man of integrity. He was a man of principle. He was totally trustworthy, reliable, and honest. Wherever he went, whatever situation he found himself in, he had that integrity. That word integrity has been mentioned in the last few sermons about Joseph. You can't read his life story without not realizing what a man of integrity he was. And what was the secret of his success? We see it through that chapter. In verse 2, it says, the Lord was with him. In verse 3, it says, his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. In verse 20, it says, while Joseph was in prison, the Lord was with him. You getting the picture? And then it says, verse 23, the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Just get a picture here of this young guy. Wasn't very old, probably just 20-ish, round about that age. Young, foreign, a slave. Not a lot down for him, yeah? Imagine that person coming to this country, just a young foreign slave, you know, nothing down for you. But it didn't stop him behaving impeccably. It didn't stop his attitude being so positive and so straight. His lifestyle was just impeccable. That integrity, so much so as we know that it's been recognized and rewarded. And I don't want to go into somebody else's sermon, but we'll see that he rose to be second in command of Egypt. What a rise. And it was only in a few short years that that happened. That he rose from just what we would say, something you just leave in the gutter, to being the second in command. And it was all because the Lord was with him. You see, integrity and character are so important. In fact, they are vital for you and me today in our world, in our witness, how we behave, how we are portrayed is so important. How do you and me shape up where we are? In the workplace, in the community, in our home, what's our attitude like? What's our lifestyle like? Are we okay in here? But what's it like in the real world when the rubber hits the road? Are we Jekyll and Hyde? You see, people notice. People take note of our behavior. People take notice of the way we live. People take notice of our values. The Bible says that we are in the world, and we are. We can't just go round in a bubble. We are in the world, but the Bible says that we are not of the world. You see, there's something different about us. If we're following Jesus and he's our Lord and Savior, then there's something different about us. There was something different about Joseph, not just because he was the favorite son, not just because he had a fancy coat, but the Lord was with him, yeah? The Lord was with him. You know, it's tough being a Christian today. I've got a little book here which I picked up for those who went on that teacher training thing for the children. I think they got one of these given to them. I don't know who went, but those who went, did you get one of these given to you? I think you did. Have anyone read it? No. The title of the book is Lazy, Antisocial, and Selfish. Stories of Hope for a New Generation. Doesn't sound very good, does it? But basically the title is something which the authors are trying to say is, when we look at young people today, most people would say, oh, they're lazy, they're antisocial, and basically selfish. But he's saying stories of hope from a new generation. This is a collection of stories about young people who've made a difference, yeah? I don't really want to read the stories out of the book. I just want to read a little bit out of the foreword because it struck me when I was looking at this and thinking about us and the way we live and the world we live in and the challenge that we face. And Lyndon Bowring, most of you will have heard of Lyndon Bowring. He's the guy who is in charge of CARE. He's the executive chairman, is his title, of CARE. It's a UK organisation. And it's tough to be Christians. You young people today, it's tough being a Christian. This is what he says. And I can relate to this because it was like this for me. I was a teenager in the 60s. This is what he says, and I was too. An era that's been described as walking down a corridor with doors to rooms on each side. Behind each door, there were various alluring possibilities involving sex, drugs, alcohol, and the wilder side of youth culture. For me and most of my friends, the doors were either just ajar or firmly closed because they were forbidden for us to enter. Modern day youth today walks down a corridor, but the doors are wide open. People are inside partying, saying, come and join us. Come and experiment with drugs. Come and have a sex relationship with me or somebody else. Come and have a drink. Get binged. And all are perceived to be normal with nothing forbidden. Oof. Is that true? I thought, and we all thought the 60s, it was it. We'd made it, you know. This is it with freedom. Long hair and everything was happening, the flower people, and it was all, you know. It's not even touching the surface of what we've had today. Brian lived through there as well. He knows what I'm talking about. It's tough for you guys. I'm not saying it's easy. But the Bible says in Ephesians, this is a hard one, it says, not even a hint of sexual immorality should be among you. Oops. No greed, no improper behavior, not even a hint. It's tough, isn't it? That's not easy. No taint, no smell. In other words, it says, just keep a million miles away. And the pressures that you guys are under, the pressures that us older guys are under, because those sort of things are available freely to us in the media, yeah, on the sides of wagons. They've had to stop putting some of these posters on the sides of wagons because accidents are happening, did you know? It's true. Those who know what I'm talking about will know. But you see, what are we feeding on today? What's our diet? What's your diet and my diet? What are we reading? What are we watching? What are we listening to? Where are we going? My friend Carmen said this. He said, garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. I know when I'm taking garbage in. Yeah. Because it flows out, doesn't it? In your behavior. It flows out in the things that you do. Are you looking for success in your job, in your schoolwork, in your college work, in your career? Are we looking for success in our families? Yeah, I hope we are. What's the secret? What was Joseph's secret? That well-known verse, Matthew 6:33, is this. This is the secret. This is the way for success. Seek ye first your own desires, put God in second place, and everything will be hunky-dory. Is that right? No, it's a misquote. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Yeah, we get it the wrong way around. We get it completely twisted. We want everything our way. We want it the next thing, and we want it all to come, and we miss it completely. You see, Joseph knew the blessing and the providence of God. He knew it. And guys, we can know it too. And this isn't about, forgotten the phrase now, but it isn't about, you know, come to God and all of a sudden your money will start flowing in and prosperity teaching. That was it. Thanks, Tom. It's not about being prosperity teaching. It's nothing to do with that at all. It's knowing the goodness and the prosperity of God. Yeah. See, Joseph sat in that slave line. Joseph sat in that pit. Where was the prosperity of God there? But God was with him. Yeah? When he ended up in prison, falsely accused of rape, right? God was with him. You see, God is with us in every situation. We sing that song, in every circumstance of life, you are what? With me. Not somewhere else. And some of you I know are facing difficult situations. I face difficult situations. But it's not about pity party. I remember Adrienne sharing only a couple of weeks ago about there's no pity parties. Yeah, we can't do that. Woe is me. Look at my lot. Look what's happened to me. Yeah, I've lost my job. Yeah. This has gone wrong for me. Nothing's going right for me. Blah. And we go into that syndrome, don't we? And we go down a tube. There's no place for that. We don't read that about Joseph. We find him in those places. And I don't know what it was in those places. But whatever it was, his relationship with God was so strong that he just rose to the top. And guys, we can do that. We can do that. I honestly do believe that. See, Joseph was a man for his generation. He was one of the founding fathers, and that's what we're saying in our title. He was a man for his generation. And guys, today, who's for our generation but you and me? Who is for our generation if it's not you and it's not me? Who's going to do it? Is it somebody else? It may be somebody else, yeah? I don't know. But I believe within this room we've got so much opportunity, yeah? And it's not just young, it's old as well. Moses was 80 when God chose him. So don't think, hang on a minute, I'm just coming to retirement, that's the end. No way. It's only the start. God might not have even started with you yet. But you and me are the answer for our generation. We are the hope of the world. I was sharing this yesterday at the opening of the Debt Advice Council. Bill Hybel says the local church is the hope of the world. The local Christian, you and me, is the hope. You are the local hope for your class in university. You are the local hope for your class in school. You are the local hope for your office, because you're probably the only one that's there. You're the local hope for your school. You're the local hope for your neighbor. If nobody else does it, if nobody else lives that life of integrity, of difference, then who else is going to do it? If we don't do it, guys, then nobody's going to do it. See, Joseph was this prophet. He was an instrument used by God to express God's word. And see, if I say to you, you're prophets today in your generation, you're going to say, ooh, hang on a minute. Whoa, no. You know, that's something over there. You know, it isn't, guys. See, Joseph wasn't some puffed up individual. There's a story in the Bible in Numbers 22. And read it when you go home. It's about Balaam and his ass. Not this, but one of them. Yeah? And the ass, God used it and he spoke. Don Francisco is an old musician, and he sang a song, and one of the lines says this. It says, God could have used the dog next door if he'd have been so inclined. Yeah? And guys, if we don't speak out for God, then don't be surprised if he doesn't. Because his heart is for people. His heart is for our community. Made up we're doing these prayer walks. And made up that we're doing street pastors. Made up that we're doing debt advice, food bank. Reaching into the community, making a difference. Guys, if we don't do it, the authorities aren't doing it. The authorities have abandoned it. They're saying we ain't got the money for that. We, you know, leave it. But it's down to us as the church. If we don't grasp it, guys, who's going to do it? We are the prophets to this generation. We are the ones with king's speech. And that's what Joseph had. He had king's speech when he was called upon. He spoke, and it was king's speech. Did you know you can speak king's speech? Woo! Getting excited. No good. See, I've written something down here. Our generation, desperately, and I mean desperate, guys, desperately needs to hear God's word. It does. You come on the streets of Ormskirk, mate, I'm telling you. You know, last night, I spoke to Alan Kennedy. Some of you don't know who Alan Kennedy is. You know him? Famous footballer, played for Liverpool, scored a goal in the European Cup, won the European Cup for us. Famous guy. I met him on the streets of Ormskirk last night. I was talking about the match. He was commentating on the match. He'd come back from Newcastle. I was talking about the match. Just great. On the streets of Ormskirk. Yeah, it was amazing. One of the street pastors said, did you get his autograph? I said, no, I'd never thought about it. You know. But you see people on the street, he needs gone. Yes. He's a lovely guy. He's a nice guy. I've met him before. He's a nice guy. He had time to stop. He was with his mates, but he was going for a taxi. He said, look, I'll have to go. We had to chat a little bit about the match, because he used to play for Newcastle as well as Liverpool. But yeah, he needs God. People just on the streets, that you just see people just with nothing but what I was sharing there before, just getting comatosed on drugs. You could, in the air, you could almost get high yourself last night. The smell of drugs was just it was just there, you know. And alcohol, we know, is just, it's just, it's there everywhere. But these are people who we can speak into. This is our generation, guys. And our generation desperately needs to hear God's word. And who's going to do it? People like you and me to be his mouthpieces. Do you think that God is going to use you and me? You can't grasp it, guys. You can't take it in. That he's going to use us, because I'm not a hero. We're not heroes. We're just ordinary people saved by the grace of God. That's all we are. We're not special people. But where we live our everyday lives, living lives of integrity. You've got to live integral lives. And it's tough. That's tough, guys. When all around you, everybody else is doing everything else, swearing, effing, and you're there and you don't. And you're going to get loads of, you know, criticism. I told you what they call me in work, Father Ted. You know, and it's a joke, and it's funny, but in some sense it's great, because they know what I'm about. But the slip will cost me my integrity, and it can easily happen. It can easily happen. You can make a difference. You are the difference. Did you know you are the difference? It's whether you're making that difference. That's the important thing. And you can do it, guys. You can do it. If you're sitting here today saying, oh, no, I can't. You don't know anything about me. Joseph rejected by his family, left for dead, sold into slavery. Folks, I've said all this. What's going on, God? Where are you? You might be saying that, God, what's going on in my situation? And I know some of you are facing difficulties. What's going on here, God? What are you doing? My dreams are in tatters. Joseph was what I mean, thinking in that prison cell. I'm miles away from home, a foreign country, I've done nothing wrong, and what are you doing? And he was in jail for a number of years. It wasn't just, you know, wasn't a piece of cake, it was tough. My dreams are in tatters. Are your dreams in tatters today? Have things gone wrong, relationships broken down, jobs not worked out, careers not worked out, families not worked out, sickness may be approaching? Where are you, God? Look, today, don't give up. Joseph could have packed it all in and said, forget this. You know, I'll join in with the rest. And wallowed, and he could have died in that prison cell. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to work this through. I'm going to rise to the top. And he did. I wonder what it was like when he faced Potiphar a few years later and Potiphar was bowing down before him. Hey, I'm sure he just embraced him and said, come on, guy, no hard feelings. Did it with his family. So I don't know where you are today. Have you given up? Don't give up. Guys, it's time to look up. It's time to get a grip. It's time to say, look, come on. We can make a difference here today. If you've lost it, if you've lost your integrity in work because you've just compromised, then there's a way back. Yeah? There's no condemnation, it says, for those in Christ Jesus. If you've messed up, and I hold my hands up, I've messed up loads and loads and loads. But there's a way back. You need to get back into that tomorrow and say, look, guys, you know, and it's not a stand up in front of the office and get on the desk and say, you know, I'm a Christian, you know. But you know what, you maybe need to speak to people and say, look, I'm sorry I said such and such, or I'm sorry about my language, or I'm sorry I didn't do that. But I just want to be different from today. Yeah, I want to make a difference. And maybe you haven't made a difference. Maybe you've just gone into your shell with your neighbours. Maybe it's time to knock on your neighbour's door and say, can I help you? Can I do something? Can I be something for you? Maybe it's time to say, I've been sat on my backside for too long. I want to get out. I don't want the dog speaking. I don't want the ass speaking. I want to speak. And I want to do something and make a difference. There's loads of things you can do, because time's short. Let's just pray. We sang that song before, all things work together for good. And all things do. And if today you're feeling that you're in the pit, you're down that pit, or you're in prison, God says, look, all things are working together for good. I don't want to leave you there. I want to lift you up. And before there was that opportunity for ministry, for healing, for release, and it's here right now, because God's not trampling on you. He doesn't want to trample you. Sometimes we go through situations, but those situations are to strengthen us, to increase our faith, not to pull us down. They're to build us up. They're to encourage us so that we know the next time we can rise above it or we can help somebody else. I've been made redundant 3 times, and that isn't God laughing in my face, saying, nah, that'll teach you. No, it's to strengthen you. It's to get your values back on track. It's to get your focus back on track. That's what it's about. If you need to make some decisions, then make those decisions. Say, Lord, no, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstrings. And Lord, I know you're with me and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to rise to my destiny. I'm going to rise and take those dreams back and say, enemy, you're having none of it. I'm going to stand for you no matter what. I'm going to make a difference where I am. Been messing about for too long. I'm going to close some of these doors. I'm not going through those doors. I'm going to close them. I'm going to let some things go. Things I've let slip. I'm going to stop it right now. And maybe you've got to turn the telly off. Maybe you've got to stop listening to things. Maybe you've got to stop going places. God's challenging you. Come on. Is it me? Or is it you? Just help us, Lord. Just help us. We know the enemy is a roaring lion, but Lord, just help us. We want to be the Josephs, Lord, of our generation. We want to rise, Lord, above every obstacle that's against us, and we want to make a difference, Lord. We want to be radically followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us today. Maybe some of you today need to recommit, and if you do, then we're going to sing in a minute. If the children, if you can go and get the kids back in, the parents can go and get the children, then we'll just sing, and there'll be an opportunity. If you come around the Lord's table, what a better place to come, but the place of sacrifice, of God laying down his life for you and for me, so that we can be clean, pure and holy. What a place to come and say, Lord, I'm coming back. Thank you that you've loved me and broken your life so that I can be whole. So if the musicians can come and the parents can go and get the children, that'd be great. Crèche parents need to go. And they're just coming. And we'll have this opportunity for people to come and just respond as you need to respond, and we'll pray.